Yes, a very good morning, everyone. It is the 1st of May. Yes, the 1st of May on a Wednesday. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. And as Loz gives Joshie the good old pinch and the punch, gee, it is a very big news day. I'll start with just even a couple of texts. Rabbitoh George, morning, boys. I feel sorry for JD. We have half a team that are reserve graders. The other half, excluding Cam Murray, that are playing like reserve graders. It's the board who should give themselves an uppercut for their buying and letting go of players. Morning, boys. Michael Checker to coach Souths. You heard it here first, says Michael from Lane Cove. G'day, Grubby. And boys, well, both of you, I got a photo yesterday of a shoot. A couple of models I'm working with this morning. Models, yeah. A shoot in the beautiful northern beaches or high up on the peninsula in Sydney at some ridiculous-looking property. And so your modelling career's in full swing.
Full swing.
Full swing.
It's all I'm going to say, Minnow, is it must be nice to sell clothing because, wow, that place we were at yesterday was unbelievable, wasn't it, Loz?
Morning, gentlemen. Yes, where we were yesterday was one of the most magnificent places I've ever been into. The view was stunning and the house was massive. I've never been to a house that had four greens.
Four greens. Yep.
Four greens on it? On the block.
So it was a private residence.
Yeah, private
and it
residence.
Had four golfing greens.
Four golfing greens, yeah.
So on different levels, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, different tiers.
So just some extreme golf enthusiast that just likes to putt a lot. And depending what day it is, go to that green on level one or that green up on level four.
It was a stunning. It was a stunning place. It was magnificent. Bit rainy. That was the only complaint. Bit rainy, but we got through it. Grubby was outstanding, of course.
Mm. And you've still got it, Loz, in the modelling
stakes.
Oh,
worked the room.
Yeah.
Let's just say it was very natural.
Sure. He's got a lot of experience. See, I'm a man to work with ET.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm very, I feel like I'm very stiff and they're always like, oh, come on, Josh, loosen up. But Loz has just got that little swagger about him. And he just owned it. He owned the floor. He had his very own personalised makeup artist. We all had to share all us other people. Loz brought his own.
Did a lot of calendars.
Yeah.
Remember how big calenders were?
Oh,
they had a calendar
for everything. They had firemen calendars, ambulance calendars. Calendars?
Were
rugby league calendars?
The fireman one nude?
I think they were, but they'd cover themselves up downstairs.
It wasn't completely.
Yeah, he did a nude one.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, didn't have to show anything, though. But, I enjoyed it, actually.
I'm not shocked.
It's the only time I'd ever complained about getting out of there early. I wanted to hang around all day and night.
How did that meeting go? All I'll say is he's very smart, Loz. He's been around for a long time. I had to get there early, crack of dawn, sun was still peeking out. Mm. Loz turns up at 10:30, nice walk in, and then he had to leave to go to another meeting early.
Had a meeting at 1:30.
I was in the trenches all day, smiling, putting that smile on. My cheeks were hurting.
He's got experience.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
And should we not unveil the company who it's for, or we'll tease everyone, or what's I'll leave that.
Well, not yet. I don't think we can announce it yet.
But it's
going to be big.
Was it television or stills?
Stills. It's a calendar show. It's magazine. You know, like magazines for magazines. You know, and stills. And,
The way he's talking. I love it.
We had some fun. And we had another bloke with us. And he's a lovely fella, but he was part of Love Island.
I'm pretty sure it's Love Island.
You two and a bloke from Love Island.
I didn't get a chance to
have
a decent yarn to him because there was a lot of people around. Mm. But there was a lot of questions I had for him, obviously. But no, he was a lovely bloke, really lovely fella, good looking rooster.
Mm.
Yeah,
he was on Love Island. So I done. His name's Reed Pollack. Pollock. Right. I done one with him last time, and I got into a couple of good chats with him about Love Island.
Okay, yep.
He was the bad guy, portrayed as the bad guy.
Right.
He looked nothing, well, didn't seem anything like a bad guy. Mm. He's a wonderful kid.
We know these shows, they can take angles.
Yeah. He was lovely.
He did say a few things that I understand.
Oh, really?
But he was proud of it. Good on him. Mate, he went on the show.
He owned it.
Single. Yeah. Get in there, mate.
Yeah, you might have to tell some of these stories off here.
Do it his best.
Well, boys, big, big news day. It took two board meetings on the same day. It seemed just to delay the inevitable. Coach Jason Demetrio sacked 48 hours out of their match against Penrith. With the club sitting last on the ladder after eight rounds, reports say that Demetrio had prepared a submission to the board vowing to turn it around. But in the end, last night, the news came through at what, close to 7:30, that he's out as Bunnies coach with Ben Hornby to be the interim head coach for the remainder of the 2024 season. I was just thinking, and obviously two board meetings, you got to remember with Souths, the ownership, Russell Crowe, James Packer, Mike Kenham-Brooks, and they might all be friendly, but imagine sort of getting everyone, like getting alignment in that club would have to be difficult.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that because there's a lot of alpha males, you know, and they'd all want their own opinion heard and they'd all want whatever decision they made to happen. It was always going to be difficult for Jason to keep his job when he didn't get a chance to present to the board because that just sounded like they'd made their decision. Mm. The only decision to make was, one, who was going to be the interim coach, and two, who was our target, and can we get that target so we can announce who it is when we sack Jason? So I think that was the reason why they sort of wanted to come back the second time, plus the hours of the day, because people are overseas. And it looks as though Wayne Bennett is the number one target, which we all thought it would be. You have to feel sorry for Jason Demetrio. I think he can coach. I think he'd be a wonderful coach. He'd be someone that the players would respect. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, he just hasn't been able to get the best out of this playing group. So the players themselves need to take a hard look inside the four walls and work out why they haven't performed well. Are they united as much as they're telling us? Because that's all we've heard is they're united. They're all on the same page, but they're certainly not playing like that. And it's always easy to blame a coach and it's easy to get rid of one coach. But I do feel for him, but I know it's a results-driven business. It was always going to be difficult for him to hold on to his position after the results last week. And they got Penrith this week. So good luck, Ben Hornby, trying to turn the ship around in the next 48 hours.
Stunning turnaround, Grubby. This was a club that was, what I think it was, 9-1 or 10-1 at about, well, close to the midway point of last season. It has just completely fallen apart.
That playing group have absolutely thrown him to the wolves. Honestly. He stood up for them. He really did. And we've spoken about this before. The whole Sam Burgess and Souths incident that happened, the playing group had something to do with that. I don't know who or what, but I can nearly guarantee, I don't know 100%, but they had something to do with that. And JD backed them. And I feel really sorry for him. When I seen him walk out yesterday,
He was a defeated man.
Because he's just gone, well, what more do I do? I've got a bunch of guys here that, Mido, you just said were 10-1, and now there's not much change in the team. If anything, they've got, you know, they've picked up Jack Whiten. So if you're not telling me that's attitude, if you're not telling me that's culture, I'll give up.
At the moment, they'll point to injuries as well, but yeah, nearly every club goes through those periods, don't they? It's just fallen apart. The one bloke we'd love to hear from.
But they were going poorly before the injuries.
Oh, they were.
And if you say that Campbell Graham was missing, well, they had Jack to come in. Mm. So they've still got the same squad. It would have been stronger with Campbell Graham there. But like their forwards, Kepi was playing. Latrell has only been out the last couple of weeks. Cody's not playing as well as what he has done. Cookie's not playing as well as he has done in the past. Latrell hasn't played anywhere near what the expectations were after seeing him in round one. We all thought, geez, he's going to have a big year. And that's fallen flat.
Their forwards good enough, Loz?
I don't think they're tough enough. Oh, I shouldn't say tough enough, because everyone that plays first grade is tough. But I just don't think at the moment they've got enough aggression. And defensively, they haven't got that steel to get forward quickly off their line and have that real tough attitude to cover up their inside, make good first up contact, be strong on the ground. And when things go against them, they tend to not be as competitive and just stand there and wait. And if you're standing there and waiting as a defensive unit, people are just going to have momentum built up as they get into the line, and it's hard to stop them. You know, you might bring them down, but they get a fast play of the ball, they're coming at you again. So, yeah, defensively, that's an area. And their forwards just haven't got that attitude that you need. Hard, tough, aggressive. I haven't seen it this year.
Well, look at their previous packs they've had. The Burgess brothers, when they were on fire, they were the most aggressive pack in the comp. They were coming at you. They were coming at you left, right and centre, and they haven't got that anymore. They haven't got that siege mentality.
No.
You're right. They get dictated to a lot now. And then I understand as well, then they're expected, so Latrell and Cody are all expected to just do the same stuff while the platform isn't set.
Yeah.
So I do understand that sort of thing. Interesting comments from Gus a couple of nights ago. He said South's, you know, the board and the higher people, when they were going well, they still weren't planning for the future. And I just thought it was interesting. It's true, isn't it? Like, so right now, the Dogs were going for a bit of a tough period and trying to sign all these players. But he was saying that while they were going great, he doesn't think that they were planning still for the future.
Like through their pathways.
Through their pathways and stuff. So. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting comment.
I heard Brayton Astor on 360 last night say similar, that all their junior teams really struggled just in the rep comps that have all just finished. So maybe those Souths have been, you know, it's rugby league area, South Sydney, and, you know, it's a bit of a nursery, isn't it, that part of Sydney? And they just haven't really produced those juniors. And the ones
they had high hopes for the juniors. They had high hopes for Lachlan Ilias. They had high hopes. And they've got high hopes for Jai Gray. They've got high hopes for Tyrone Munro. But we haven't seen a lot of those two guys. But it's in their forwards at the moment that you sort of look at and go, well, where's the next ones coming through? Talis Duncan. You know, but these players haven't been given a lot of time to play first grade. They've stuck with the more experienced guys, and I understand that. But it might be time to sort of give a lot of these guys an opportunity when they come back from injury, like the Munros, get Talis Duncan into the squad somewhere, and give them more regular football. But I don't think Wayne will be going there to worry about the pathways. I don't think he'll be worried about going there and building for the future. But if Wayne's going there, he's going there to win a competition, and he's going there to worry about the first grade team. He's not going there to worry about the Jersey Flag or the SG Ball.
I'll say one thing, Loz. If that South team at the moment, if you are a young kid coming in there, like Lachie Ilias, gee, it'd be hard. Well, it's all on you. They've thrown him to the Wolves as well. Poor Lachie Ilias has sort of come in there trying to find his feet in first grade, and you know, he had some really good games, but then when he had the poor games, he just took all the brunt of it. And I get it, when you're playing in the halves in first grade, you're going to cop it. But at the same time, gee, I'd love some of their leaders to step up at times.
It's funny, Grubby, isn't it? Because as a halfback, I reckon you've got to have a different personality to most. And one of those personalities, you have to be very good with your vocals. You've got to be a talker. You've got to be... I shouldn't say half a smart ass, but you've got to be able to control people, and you've got to be able to talk to people, and you've got to be very smart and witty and be able to sort of direct and not take BS from a lot of people. And you've got to be strong in what you think and do. Just wondering whether that's Lockie's personality. Because all the good halfbacks that I played with or knew, a lot of them were, even if they weren't that cheeky, they were very good at talking. And that's one of the strengths that a half back needs. I don't know Lockie that well.
How do you? I just find it be so hard going into that team when you've got, you know, Cody and Latrell, and to try and dictate to both of them if they're not happy to say, look, mate, this is your team.
Yeah.
Because realistically, it's the halfback's team, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you go into to a squad. And if you want, you know, we see it now with Sam Walker. He's taken over that Roosters team. But you've got guys like Joey Manu and all the other blokes in that squad that have been there for a long time that would be happy to give it to him. It's not always about Joey Manu. It's not always about Hargraves. They're letting him take over that team.
Job.
You can see. Mm. But I just feel for some reason in that South squad, they wouldn't let someone come in and be the man.
That's what I think.
I think it'd be very hard to come in as a young half and say, here, mate, here's the keys. And this is why I'm a bit scared for Dodd. What's going to happen? He's coming over here.
That's what his personality's like. I reckon if you're a personality, strong personality, I think you can. But I get what you're saying.
Mm.
I get what you're saying. If you're not confident to tell senior players what to do, then being a halfback's not your role. Because you have to be able to go, hey, you over there, you be quiet.
Yep.
You, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And for me, all the good halfbacks that I played with, that's one trait they had. And they had that from a young age, as soon as they walked into first grade.
Well, sorry. I know for a fact, all guys over in England, there's a lot of them, they love to come to Australia. But they are a bit nervous about coming over. They all say it. Like, they all act like, oh, I'd get over there and I'd kill it. But when you break it down, have a few beers with them and stuff, they're like, yeah, it's a lot of pressure. So you got Dodd coming over from St. Helens, who's one of the biggest clubs over there. He's probably watched Latrell and Cody. He's only young. He probably watched them, idolised them. So if he comes here and you know, he tries to take over, be like, nah, leave it to us, mate. Like, what does he do there? He's come from another country, out of his comfort zone. Mm. So many factors that are going to go into it. He has to be what you're saying, Loz. He has to come in there and just say, listen here, boys. I've come over here to literally run the show. And this is where I feel, you know, even whoever goes into the coaching, all the coaching staff have got to give him that confidence to take over. Because obviously it's not working what's going on right now.
Isn't it funny? 12 months ago, I remember we were having conversations. Oh, it was a win-win, the Lachie Ilias, Adam Reynolds leaving to Brisbane thing. Now, Reynolds going to the Broncos is looking like one of the great blunders as far as South in recent times when it comes
about,
to signings.
I'm talking about how Brisbane had made the mistake.
Because of his body.
Body, yeah. Mm. He's into his third year and he's about to sign for a fourth year
where
he wanted a two-year contract. So, but again, yeah, you can sit back and go through all these issues, but I would still say last year, after 10 rounds or 11 rounds, they were leading the comp.
It was looking good.
Mm. So they've got the ability there.
Heir to the throne. Demetrio sacked as Bunnies target Bennett. Hornby fills coach void. Back page of the Daily Telegraph today. The Herald, Souths part ways with coach Demetrio after horror one. Rabbits in a hole, power play, paralysing Souths. Back page of the Courier Mail, rabbit punch, South sack Demetrio, door open for Bennett. Going, gone. That's on the back page of the Australian today. And Souths did put out a statement last night and just really stated the obvious, saying, following a meeting of the football club board in conjunction with club management, it has been decided the club needs to go in a new direction with its coaching following a less than satisfactory series of results over the 2023 and 2024 seasons. And just some quotes there from Blake Solly. Now, Blake Solly will face the media at 8:15 this morning, Eastern Standard Time. And unfortunately, Cookie has been told by the club that they've got to leave all media commitments until after Blake Solly has addressed the team and the media tomorrow. So, unfortunately, Cookie, club directive, not on this morning. We'll have Cookie on, I think he's going to come on Friday after they play on Thursday night. Yeah. So, we'll, you know, that's not Cookie's fault. That's what clubs do. So, they're waiting for Blake Solly to address the media and also the team. So, no Cookie this morning.
Oh, that's fair enough. I understand how it all works. Blake is going to front the media today and he'll be asked a lot of questions. There's no denying that Blake Solly's a good administrator. A lot of people talk about Blake in the highest possible regard and talk about him you know, being an excellent operator. So a lot of people will be asking questions today about how it got to this and the plan forward for South Sydney, because there's a lot of supporters out there that, you know, are worried about the direction of the club, and they're just wanting some answers, and they want to know why they haven't had the start to the year, why Sam Burgess left last year. I still don't think that's been cleaned up enough. Even though you don't want to go back and reopen it, you want to try and move forward. But it's hard not to revisit that when everything is going down like it is at the moment.
Well, if you're doing an investigation now on how you got here...
Well, you go back to that.
You go back to that, don't you? Big time. Wouldn't you love to hear from him, Big Sammy?
What he actually thinks.
Because it was just so... Like, he left, what was it? Was it a week? It was just before the finals. And they were still in the hunt. And all of a sudden, he's upped and gone. I mean, you can't tell me. We all know. I mean, we all know that he just looked at the situation there and went, I'm out. Yeah. And he got the job with Warrington.
Yeah. Well, I think Grubb hit the nail on top of the head when he said Jason Demetrio backed the players and the board backed
Demetrio.
Jason. And it's backfired. That chain of command is obviously hasn't worked. You know, they all tried to be supportive of one another. But someone within that link or a group within that link has let it down.
Someone's got it wrong.
So it's either the board's got it wrong, the coach has got it wrong, or the playing group have got it horribly wrong. And as it stands at the moment, to me it looks like the playing group are the ones that aren't performing. Because board, coach have backed the players. And the players just haven't responded.
Well, what I heard was Sam, well, now in Warrington, you hear the Warrington players, obviously they're halfway through the season now, but they said that Sam put them through the hardest training they've ever trained at. But Warrington are leading the comp now, top two. So I think Sam was trying to implement that at South, and they just didn't like it. And not what the attitude would be, Sam, you're done, mate. We don't want to train this hard. We don't want this. We don't want to do all this wrestle and all. Because I don't think... So when Bennett was at South, I don't think he actually done much wrestling with him. And that was, you know... And we'd always be at the Dogs or wherever I was going, how good's that? No wrestle. But...
You need to do it.
You need to do it. So I reckon that's what's happened. And they've just tried to be like, you know, well, why would we change that? Why are we going to do this now, Sam? And I don't know. Like you said, someone has got in someone's ear and it's gone to... You know, higher up, and then someone said, "Well, yeah, we don't really, really need Sam here now. He's finished. His legacy's finished." But it's not for what he done for that club. He should be there for a very, very long time. And someone, whoever it was, or whatever bunch of players, or whoever, shouldn't have been able to get rid of him. And now look what he's done. And he's gone over there, and he's coaching. Warrington aren't a great team, but they're playing great footy. So it's just, yeah, I don't like it, and I agree with him, though. I'd love for him to come back and say, you know what, I'm coming back, but I'm going to tell my side exactly what happened, and there might be some people that won't like this. But if you want me back at South, this is what's going to happen.
Okay, just some of your texts here. As a South supporter, not sure I want Wayne again. Every club he leaves goes through this. What's to stop it happening again? Got to be Madge for me. Nobody sets a higher standard. Also, R.E. Dodd, ask James Graham what he thinks. He played with the young bloke. I back him all the way. If only we made a play for AFB, Adam Fanua Blake. No name to that one. Morty Boyce, sacking JD a third of the way through the season is a waste. Ben Hornby has the same players to deal with for the rest of the season. If the players step up, only proves certain players control the team. If Wayne comes back next season... We will be in this position once again. His contract is up, says Kirk from Blacktown. With the South debacle, doesn't appear that anyone's talking about the possible elephant in the room and the reason why Sam Burgess left late last year. He questioned certain preferential treatment for certain players within the group. None of that's been spoken about since, more or less. If that preferential treatment is still going on, it's any wonder the club isn't playing as a team. Demetrio's a scapegoat, but I don't think he was a good enough coach to tell people to pull their heads in and apply as a team. Anyway, boys, have a good day. Love the game. Rusty Bunnies. There's stacks more as well. We'll come back to it. Don't worry. We're going to go to the States, though. Get all the NFL draft fallout. NBA playoffs. It's a great time over in the US, sporting-wise. And hello, Dick. How are you?
Good, boys. How are we doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Let's start with all the draft fallout. And, well, the fallout in particular of the big story being the Atlanta Falcons at number 8 picking quarterback Michael Penix, which blew everyone, it seemed, away. What did you make of it, and what is the prevailing fallout, do you think?
Well, who would have known that my guy Michael Penix would be the biggest talk of the NFL draft? But we had a chance to speak with him, actually, like 10 minutes after he was drafted, and obviously he was very, very excited, but it did cause a firestorm of controversy. And it really has nothing to do with them drafting the talent of Michael Penix. I don't think anybody had a problem with Michael Penix going 8 overall. It was a little higher than most people thought he would go. I thought probably in the low to mid-teens he would go, so 8 was a little bit higher. It's the fact they gave Kirk Cousins $100 million of guaranteed money just 8 weeks ago, and then they draft his replacement 2 months later. That is the thing that people cannot reconcile. Now, what Atlanta's doing is they're simply saying, well, we've now got our quarterback for the next 15 years. We got Kirk Cousins for 2 years. We got Michael Penix beyond that, and we're going to be all good, and we don't mind a $100 million insurance policy. My question would be, well, if you knew you loved Michael Penix, then why didn't you just not sign Kirk Cousins and draft Michael Penix 8th overall? Nobody was going to take Michael Penix ahead of 8th. So I think that's the miscalculation. And our people from Atlanta tell us that it was kind of almost a last-minute decision, that they loved Michael Penix so much in a visit that they had taking it to Seattle and meeting him that they decided to draft him. And they weren't keen on drafting him when they signed Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, overall, Atlanta has an excellent quarterback solution right now, for now and for years to come. The problem is it's going to cost them a lot of cap money over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it was one of the reasons they did it also, Dick, is they had some concerns about Cousins and the injury that he got last year?
Well, there's certainly potential for that. I mean, you're not 100% guaranteed to come back after an Achilles injury. Now, Achilles injury 10 years ago was a death knell of a career. I mean, people just didn't come back from that. And now with modern medicine, you know, it's usually a year away from the game, and then you're good to go. So, but there's definitely that worry. Now, Kirk Cousins isn't a guy that's ever going to beat you with his legs anyway. He's pretty much a pocket passer, and he still has all of his faculties to be one of the top, you know, 8 to 10 accuracy quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think he's good enough to make Atlanta win that division. But I'll tell you what, if Kirk Cousins were to go down, Michael Penix is the best backup quarterback in the NFL to have. If he is put into that position, he is certainly more talented than any other backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, it was no surprise that Chicago, they took Caleb Williams as a number one pick. But were they the big winners out of the draft? Or who were the other teams that you looked at and went, geez, yeah, they've done really well?
Well, the Bears got the flash and dash, certainly. They've got Caleb Williams, and they got our guy Roman Dunze from Washington with their two top 10 picks. And that should be a combination, quarterback wide receiver combination for the next 8 to 10 years, that's going to scare a lot of teams. Rome is absolutely a salt of the earth human being. You could not want a better person on your football team than Rome Odunze. And oh yeah, he's ridiculously talented as well. So the Bears got a fabulous player and a fabulous person in Rome Odunze, who we have known for a long, long time. So that's great to see him go to Chicago. I loved what the Steelers did. They got another one of my Washington Huskies in Troy Fautanu, the guy that I wanted Seattle to take in the first round. They were able to get him. Pittsburgh had a very nice draft on the lines. And then I think the Philadelphia Eagles had a really nice draft, as much as I hate to say it, because obviously they're competing with the Seahawks in the NFC. But they got their bookend corners for a long, long time to come. And I think Eagle fans should be really happy with what the Philadelphia Eagles did in the draft.
Yeah, Dick, you speak about the Eagles. I'm a big Eagles fan, sorry to say, mate. What's your have you got any insight on Quinyon Mitchell, mate, the cornerback from Toledo? There's massive raps on him.
You know, it's funny. Micah Parsons has got a YouTube channel or a podcast, and he's obviously the star defensive end linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. And when he saw that guy go to the Eagles, he was ticked. He saw it in real time. He was hosting a show in real time, and here's a rival of the Philadelphia Eagles ticked off that his rival got Quinyon Mitchell. So that kind of tells you what this kid has thought about in the general public.
I'm sure the team that probably were just head in hands when Penix went at eight were probably the Raiders. Is that fair to say, the Las Vegas Raiders, considering now in the AFC West, well, you've got Patrick Mahomes, of course, at the Chiefs, Justin Herbert at the Chargers, and Denver, who picked just before the Raiders get Bo Nix, the Oregon quarterback. So, gosh, the Raiders, how do they get out of this as far as quarterback is concerned? Although the tight end they pick's apparently a superstar, isn't he, Dick?
Yeah, no, he certainly is. You know, the Raiders are in they're in a transition phase. I mean, you're not going to go to the Super Bowl without either the best defense in the NFL and a decent quarterback, or one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, those are kind of your ways to get to the Super Bowl, and the Raiders have neither one of them right now. But you know, that's not to say that it can't flip fast. And Michael Penix, certainly, I thought he would be a perfect fit for the Raiders, but they were going to be a year or two away regardless of whether they got a quarterback or not. They weren't a team that was ready to compete for 11, 12 wins and knock off the Chiefs or knock off the Chargers in that division. I mean, that division for now is a two-team race between the Chiefs and the Chargers, and it's just a question of, can Jim Harbaugh get this team winning right away, or is it going to take him a year or so? If you just look at Jim Harbaugh's history, it doesn't take him a long time to start winning big. So if it's not this year that the Chargers win the division, I mean, it's probably next year when the Chargers win the division.
How did New England fare, Dick? Because obviously Belichick left and Brady's been out of there for a couple of years, and it's always difficult to replace legends of the game. But how did they fare in this draft?
Well, you know, New England got Drake May. That's a guy that is going to be a quarterback of the future, and with pick number three. I'm not a huge fan of him, to be perfectly honest with you, but I think he's going to be suitable. I mean, I think there's a big range of where Drake May can be. I mean, he can be all the way on the top end of like a big, you know, a Justin Herbert, a big, strong pocket passer guy. And on the bottom end, guy, he could be another Zach Wilson, guys, and he could be anywhere in between. Geez. His accuracy is questionable. His arm strength's not questionable. He's got good athleticism, but his accuracy is questionable. He's going to have to hone that in. But they got a very good wide receiver in Jalen Polk, another kid from Washington. My Washington Huskies were just filling up the draft board. We had 10 of them drafted on Thursday and Friday, and Jalen Polk is an exciting target for Drake May to have.
Dick, onto the NBA playoffs. Are you still confused how the Suns got swept? How did that happen, mate? Honestly, with their roster, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's surprising they got swept. I thought it was going to be a good series. I thought it was going to be a competitive series. As we spoke last week, I said, you know, regardless of who wins the Clippers-Mavericks series, I don't see either one of those teams going deep in the playoffs. So that was kind of we talked about it last week being kind of a throwaway series. And to be honest, because it was such a throwaway series, I didn't watch much of it at all. I mean, my eyes have been simply on Knicks 76ers, and they've been on Lakers Nuggets. Those are the two that I have honed in on. The other ones I've kind of kept an eye on. Pacers Bucks have been entertaining, but you know, there's really nothing entertaining about the Clippers Mavericks. I mean, neither team plays particularly good defense. Both teams are aging, and you know, Kevin Durant continues to slip into this, you know, what could have been when it comes to Kevin Durant's legacy. And he's now been swept in two of the last three playoffs. And I think I looked it up yesterday. In his last 24 playoff games, 7-17, guys. Oh. In Kevin Durant's last 24 playoff games. I mean, he's been miserable, not numbers wise, but he just hasn't been able to lead anybody, whether it be Brooklyn or Phoenix, to any playoff success over the last 5 years.
Well, you mentioned the Lakers and the Nuggets, Dick. Where do we start? Do we start with, was it LeBron's last game? How did the Lakers lose some of those games in that series, and how strong mentally must the Nuggets be to just hang in there and just provide those winning baskets at the end?
Well, yeah, I think you're right when you say, how did the Lakers lose this series? Because I think it was a combination of the Lakers doing things late to lose these games and the Nuggets just having the most clutch player on the floor in Jamal Murray winning two games with jumpers. Basically identical plays, except one was going right and he hit the jumper falling into the bench, and then the other last night was going left, hitting the jumper from about 15 or 16 feet. But think about this, guys. There were five games in this series, and the Lakers led for twice as many minutes in the series than the Nuggets led for. Think about that for a second. Quarters one through three, this was a series dominated by the Los Angeles Lakers. That was the Laker team that I thought could push the Nuggets to seven games. We saw it, but then we also saw Jokic and Jamal Murray being able, and you know, the third and fourth options, you know, you've got Michael Porter Jr. hitting a huge three down the stretch. You've got Aaron Gordon coming up with huge offensive rebounds. That was the difference, guys. It was the third, fourth, and fifth options of Denver. KCP hitting a big three. Where in the Lakers' third, fourth, and fifth options were really spotty. D'Angelo Russell was not good in this series. Reeves was hot and cold in this series. The 3, 4, and 5 won the game and won the series for Denver because they played big in the fourth quarter, and you just had nobody else step up in the fourth for the Lakers.
Let's go over to the Eastern Conference. You mentioned the Knicks-Philly series. As a Knicks fan, absolutely loving it with the Knicks up 3-1, and Milwaukee with Giannis and Damian Lillard struggling for fitness, down 3-1 against Indiana. But I thought it was big yesterday, Dick, watching Kristaps Porzingis go off with what looked like a calf injury for Boston. They're 3-1 up against Miami, but I have hope that provided the Knicks get through to the conference finals, and if Porzingis is not healthy, Boston are vulnerable. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think Boston's vulnerable. I do, especially with that injury. They're still the favorites to win it all. I don't know if they should be the favorites over Denver, although, you know, the road in the Western Conference is so brutal. I mean, look at all these teams in the Western Conference with 48, 49, 50, up there, upwards to 55 wins. You just don't have as many of those in the Eastern Conference. But the Knicks have really impressed me, guys. I thought this was going to be a closer series. Philadelphia still may be able to get one from New York, but what Jalen Brunson has been able to do is absolutely phenomenal. He's averaging almost 30 points in the series. Will Philadelphia be able to grab one? I think potentially Philadelphia will be able to grab one more, but the Knicks should win that series. And, you know, it sets up what could be a potential, you know, knockdown, drag out. I mean, if you got Knicks-Boston, what the ratings of that would be is unbelievable. And how about this for an idea? If LeBron leaves Los Angeles, how about him ending up in the Big Apple with an already championship-caliber New York Knicks team? How would that be for New York? How would that be for LeBron James's legacy? Because you know nobody in the major four sports in America has ever won championships with four different franchises in any sport. LeBron could be the first one, and he could do it in New York. What do you think for that? What do you think about that idea?
Do you reckon that's what's driving him, Dick, to win four championships with four different sides?
I think Michael Jordan's driving him. I really do. Sure. I think there's two things driving him: Michael Jordan and his desire to play somewhere with his son. I think those are the two things that are keeping LeBron James healthy, strong, and being able to put up the ridiculous numbers that he does every single night at the age of 39. Wow. He's trying to chase his heirness. And if he wanted, what would cement the legacy of a GOAT more than winning four championships with four different teams? He'd have five overall, then he'd be one shy of Jordan, and he'd win one in New York? That would be unbelievable.
Does that close out the conversation of the GOAT, Dick, if he does that in New York?
Oh, for me it does, but I'm already a, you know, just a hairline away from LeBron and Michael Jordan. There's a lot of people that just dislike LeBron so much that LeBron could win 10 championships and they still would. I mean, they're just so close-minded to the fact that they think Jordan's the GOAT and nothing can touch him, that there are certain people that will never change their mind no matter what LeBron James does.
Dick, I'm hearing some good stories from the boys from Adelaide, the Live Golf. Loz had a couple of good ones for me. Did you catch the second installment of the tournament, mate?
I didn't catch it. It's very hard to get in the States. It's not very publicized, although I'm a healthy follower of golf Twitter, and it probably was the most highly regarded Live tournament that I can think of. I mean, I hear the crowds were absolutely phenomenal, and it was a really, really healthy event. So good on you guys over there in Adelaide for what was a fantastic event. And it came at a perfect time, too, because, you know, really the PGA Tour, it was almost a bye week, you know, because they play that partner tournament, the Zurich Classic. The only thing the PGA had going for it was the fact that Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, two big names, were able to make it to the final and win in a playoff. So that was really the only thing. But other than that, you know, the stars were definitely in Adelaide.
Have you got any fancies for the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, at all?
Yeah, guys, I haven't narrowed down my list yet. It's a tournament without really much fanfare or superstars. Will Zalatoris is already pulled out. Jordan Spieth is your lone, you know, big name in his prime. You do have those couple Aussies, though, that I think are live this week. Last year's champion in Jason Day, and of course Adam Scott, Minwoo Lee. I think this could be a great week for the Aussies. And I'll give you one more name. Benny Ann is due to win a PGA tournament. I mean, he really is. He is a fabulous ball striker. He hits tall, you know, high, majestic drives. He is going to be fun to watch. So there's my short list for you right there.
Love it. Thanks so much, mate. Have a great week.
See you, boys.
Champions League semi-final first leg in Munich. Bayern 2-1 up over Real Madrid, 81st minute. So Bayern 2-1. Vinicius Junior put Madrid up after 24 minutes, but then two goals in 4 minutes, Sané and Harry Kane from the penalty spot in the 53rd and 57th minutes respectively, has put Bayern ahead in the first leg this morning. Also in the championship this morning, Ipswich in the 78th minute, Ipswich 2-1 over Coventry City. So in the live standings, that means Ipswich go up to 93 points. Of course, Leicester have won the championship and back in the Premier League. So Ipswich, and it all finishes this weekend. So Ipswich, 93 points, Leeds 90. Both have played 45 games after this. That's Ipswich still got to hold on, of course, late here. And I believe they've got Huddersfield in their last game. Yes, they do. They've got a Huddersfield at home, and Huddersfield are pretty much going down to League One. So they should be the second team automatically promoted to the English Premier League if this holds this result this morning. Ipswich, the Tractor Boys. Gee, it's been a while since they've been in the Premier League. Just also in the IPL overnight, Marcus Stoinis, player of the match. His Lucknow Super Giants winning by 4 wickets with 4 balls remaining against the Mumbai Indians. And Stoinis with the ball, 3 overs, 1 for 19, and then came out and made 62 off 45 deliveries. So it was, for once, not a 2020 or an IPL match where the totals reached, you know, towards 300. Mumbai 7 for 144, and Lucknow running them down 6 for 145. We've got Josh Reynolds co-hosting with us this morning. David Barnhill, not too far away, of course, of Raiders, Dragons, Roosters fame through the late 80s and all through the 90s. Famous for his stoush with Billy Moore. Who could forget that at the MCG at Origin in 1995? And of William Farrar Hotel in Wagga Wagga fame. And was one of the proprietors there for quite a period of time. Is he still involved with the pub there, Loz?
I think he's still involved in the Punters Club. He sold the William Farrar, what, two or three years ago.
Yeah.
Just sitting on his cash now, Barney. He can look after us when we get down to Wagga.
It's good to have money.
Hey, good to have money.
Must be nice.
Hey.
You, Loz.
What's that?
Well, sitting on cash.
Oh, mate. Barney's got plenty. Barney's got too much.
More than you.
Yeah.
And the Calcutta will be there at the Farrah for those heading to Wagga.
It's always a big night, the Farrah.
Thursday night.
Barney will know whether the auctioneer is going to be there again. We'll have to ask.
We've got barrier draws out for the Wagga Cup.
What time's
on
it start? What time's the first race? I've got a mate coming out from June E, and he wants to know what time it starts.
Tomorrow? Because tomorrow's Town Plate Day, of course.
No, Friday.
Oh, Friday.
I've got my best mate coming over.
Okay,
Wagga. He's staying the night. Look out, Wagga.
Friday. Well, they've only put up so far. We've got final fields for the Cup and the Guineas. So I don't have actual race times here on the Racing Australia website, Lots.
I was telling Grubby about my mate yesterday.
He said he's a little rascal, didn't he?
He is a rascal.
Oh, I think I like him.
You know those cheeky blokes that get away with stuff? I don't know how or why.
But you or me wouldn't.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you get away with a bit.
Hold on, mate.
And for the Cup on Friday, 480 the field with Tap. Faulkner Park for Annabelle Neesham, Tyler Schiller. A straw in the car park, Faulkner Park. Barrier 19, coming off a win in the Albury Cup. Gone back and had a trial at Warwick
Has
Farm.
Has Bjorn got a horse down there racing?
Probably. He's got Renaissance Woman, which is drawn 12. Hasn't got a jockey booking yet. Not sure if it's dual nommed. Because he's got it in the Hawkesbury Cup as well on Saturday.
Right.
So we'll see what Bjorn does there. In fact, you'll have to check with quite a lot of these. But Faulkner Park's the 480 favourite as it stands for the Cup. And for the Town Plate tomorrow, which I was given a tip in, actually, as well yesterday.
Well, don't share it.
Well, I've already backed it, so I'm happy for you. And I haven't had a bet for a while.
I'm off, but
I got a tip, and I went bugger it.
Been behaving, Mido?
Oh, I have, mate. Just had a little rest. It's good to have a rest every now and again.
How do you do that?
Was it enforced rest?
What do you do? Just
that tells you how well he was going.
Turn your remote off every Saturday. Throw it in the pool.
What have we got in the Town Plate? So Rocketing By is the favourite at $4.80 for the Town Plate tomorrow, which is race 7 on the card there at Wagga.
You should get down, Josh, one year to Wagga for the Cup.
I'd love to.
It's a good day.
Yeah. You've big raps. The boys have always said it's a big one. We went to Mudgee. That's the one I've been to with the boys. That was fun.
Didn't you go to another one?
No.
Did you go to Cowra or somewhere like that?
Oh, I went to Cowra, yeah, for the trots.
Oh, that was trots.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was still good.
Yeah.
But Mudgee was, I think those type of events, Loz, are my type of events.
Oh, I love them too, the country race meetings.
They're fun, mate.
Yeah.
They're different, aren't they, to going to Randwick and Rosehill.
More grounded. More grounded.
You don't have to get us dressed up.
Everyone's here for a really good time.
Just a good time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you end up.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to watch a race. You can be at the back. No judgment. No judgment, yes.
You can look however
you
want.
I don't like judgment.
Here he is, David Barnhill. How are you, Barney?
What's up? How are we going, son?
Yeah, good, Barn. How are you, mate?
Oh, sensational, mate. We're getting primed up for the two biggest days in now. On the Wagga Wagga calendar, mate. It's, how's things up there?
Yeah, now we got a bit of rain up here today, so hopefully the rain stays away from Wagga. But it's been remarkable, the rise of the Wagga Carnival, though, Barney, because it's just got bigger every year.
Well, the growth has been amazing. I mean, the club's well run, they've got a great board, and it just, although it draws some of the best horses in around the state, the prize money's going up, and all roads lead to Wagga.
Well, for those who haven't experienced the Calcutta at the William Farrah before, just sell it to them, Barney.
Well, we call it the Australia's biggest Calcutta, without doubt. Starts today with a good warm-up Calcutta for the Town Plate, which we're expecting, I'd say, 40, 50 plus thousand in the prize pool. Then tomorrow night, it's off the charts. We've had a record every year. Last year was about 162,000 in the pot, and I reckon we'll surpass that this year with the great help of the DS calling the shots up the front.
Well, we spoke about that yesterday on the program. A DS is, I can't remember his name, but you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. The old auctioneer, is he still a part of it?
Yeah, the Logs is floating around. He'll be he'll definitely be spotting. We've got the best auctioneers in Australia who are previous Royal Show winners, Easter Show winners. They'll be auctioneering on the day, Wednesday and Thursday. But Logs will be floating. The
good,
great Sam.
He's good man, Logs. He loves that. He loves that stage.
He loves it. He does. And we're looking forward to it. Tickets are on sale now, and the pot is starting to grow.
Speaking about the great DS, he's a big fan of the Snitties and the Steaks at the Farrah. What else can we expect on the menu, mate? I've never been down there. I'm hearing there's a lot of hype around it, but very, very jealous I can't be there with the boys.
Well, the Harvest boys, they've just done a great refurbishment and looks sensational throughout the hotel. Had a cracker day last week with Anzac Day, and I reckon DS will walk straight into the lamb cutlets. It's one of his staples.
Talking about Anzac Day with the two up, it's always a big day there at the Farrah, I'm assuming. And that was the opening day, was it, after the Reddos?
Pretty much. They had a bit of a soft opening the previous Saturday, and then they launched into the Thursday, yeah.
And how's your are you still involved with the Punters Club down there, mate?
I'm still running the Punters Club for the boys and a couple of these key other dates on the calendar.
Yeah. And there's a job going at South, mate. Are you keen?
This is a tough gig, that coaching, boys, isn't it, mate?
It is. Who'd want to
It sounds like they've already got their man sewn up by the sound of it.
Well, it sounds like Wayne is the number one target, and I think he'll be a part of that South Sydney team, and he had success there last time. But you just feel sorry for coaches in that situation, Barn, when they get sacked, don't you?
Mate, tough job. The boys used to call me Minibus. I was only half a coach. I was a much, much job.
You were very good, Barn.
Good
Barn and I did a couple of, we do a season at the Dragons together. Then I moved on. There. I always had a meeting on, didn't I?
Mate, you're always in production.
Production meetings, yeah.
You both did some assistant work at the Dragons.
Yeah, back in, what year was that, Bud? 20 years ago, wasn't it? 20-odd years ago.
2003, 4, 5, I was there with the great Nathan Brown. Loz came in as coaching coordinator, director.
Yeah, we loved it. We had a
What do you mean you had a meeting on? What did you do?
Well, I was working at Fox at the time.
Oh, right, okay. So you would...
So I'd have to
You
leave.
Were juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Right. It was a good ride for Loz. He turned up.
Well, Grubby reckons I did the same thing yesterday.
Oh, Dave, have you seen him yesterday at a shoot that we had? I reckon you would have been very disappointed in him. He's a different man. He walked onto the set and he's doing his hair and getting makeup on.
Had his own makeup artist, didn't you?
He did. Yeah, everyone had a separate one, but Loz brought his own.
He's still got the moisturiser, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he used plenty of that. Hey, listen, Barn, the cycling group, are you still doing that?
Mate, would you believe we've just come in? I've had to call to tell them to turn around early this morning. We've pulled into the coffee shop at 6:32 waiting for the call.
Yeah.
They're sitting out the front with my coffee. I'm sitting in the ute, so it's nice and quiet so no blokes going past pipping their horn because we're sitting in our tights. It's not a good look.
Well, mate, can you just tell our listeners, because Barney rides most mornings and they go nice and early, but you ride at times to Junee and back, don't you?
Yeah, Saturdays, some Saturdays we go do that Junee loop, Wannabadgeri Junee.
Big ride.
Well, that's 100, but we try and do it between 60 and 100 on Saturdays. But during the week, we just pot around and, mate, it's just a bit of a social banner. For me, it's like turning up to footy training, plenty of sledging. We got a good crew of blokes. It's just like, honestly, it's just like footy training. You get little pains in the ass like Reno, Josh Reynolds.
I'm the little one, mate. Big one.
Hey, have you got any mail?
Mate, we will have. I've got mail coming out my ears on my phone. Tomorrow I'll have some mail for you, lads.
Mm. Okay. You know, Barney's a good tipster. Oh, we're in another punting group, and when we're in trouble, they always go to Barnyard. And Barney goes, give me half an hour, and I'll chase some mail. Okay. And he always comes back with something, don't you, Barn? Well, I don't know where you get your mail from, but you're always good.
I've got a couple of sources to like yourself, but, mate, you know what the punting's like. She's a hard gig.
Very much so. Now, I've got a little friend coming over from Junee on the weekend too for Friday. He's ready to go.
12:25.
The great dunk. He's about to make an appearance at the Wagga Cup. Look out.
One other thing, Loz. I met a local bloke who quite often gets confused with yourself. A lot of punters think that he looks like you, and he was telling us a good story about when you were down for doing that country team years ago.
Yeah.
out at Wagga. The bloke just kept annoying him all day, and the farrier kept coming up on him, scared him, talking about his young buck, and just, come on, mate, he needs a crack. And mate, after a couple of hours, it wore him down because he kept calling him Loz, and he has got a bit of a, does look a bit like your Loz, I want to say, all the features, mate. But he ended up saying, mate, just bring him in half past one tomorrow, train him, give him a shot. So I don't know if a kid turned up to your training run out there, mate. I'm not too sure.
Geez, I can't remember. I can't remember. But how's the I'll tell you what I did do. I ran into the referee over in Vegas.
Yes, he told me. I saw the photo, mate. He'll be floating around.
He'll be floating around again?
Yeah, that'd be your piece in, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember. What's his name?
Liam Hannigan.
Liam. That's the one. He's the butcher.
The butcher, mate.
Yeah, the butcher. I ran into him walking up the street with his lovely partner in Vegas.
Yeah, no, I saw the photo, mate. We look forward to having you down, lads, tomorrow.
Beautiful, Barney. Thanks so much, mate.
Pleasure. We'll see you then. See you then.
See you, Barney.
And by the way, first race Friday.
What
the
time?
The great Jace Ferrari of the Murrumbidgee Turf Club tells me 12:25.
12:25.
Is the first race on Friday.
Beautiful.
For Cup Day.
Looking forward.
What time's first beer, Loz? Come on, mate.
Honesty?
Yeah, honesty.
10.
Post-show. Post-show on
10?
Friday.
I'll give it an hour.
Cup day.
An hour?
Give it an hour after I finish. I'll go home, freshen up.
Have one straight after the show.
I was a bit disappointed. The great Loz Daly, he went home from Adelaide early.
He regretted it.
I get FOMO big time. And what, I don't. Well, I should have stayed down and watched the horse too, because Foxy was running on the Saturday. But I won't be making the same mistake next year, Grubby. There you go.
I'm there.
I'll
I'm
be
coming.
Staying. Mate, I'm telling you, it's not for everyone. But if you're like me, that's not a traditional sort of golf fan, I like a bit of action. I like a bit of, that interaction with people. Mm. Live golf, for me, was what I enjoyed.
Adam Pegilly, a very good morning.
Morning, Mido. Morning, boys.
We'll get to the South Sydney situation. Let's start with some racing. And there's a new jockey for the Tab Everest winner. Think about it. Heading towards, well, I guess it'll go and defend its Kingsford Smith Cup amongst other races over the course of the carnival in Brisbane.
Yeah, Will Mido. Joe Pride's made the call to bring in Blake Shin, who's going to take over from Sam Clipperton. For the Brisbane Carnival, you're right. He'll head towards that Kingsford Smith Cup and try to defend his crown up there in that big Group 1 race. And I think it's probably fair to say that things haven't quite gone to plan for Joe and the connections there at Proven Thoroughbreds. We think about it, this preparation. We know how good he was in the spring last year winning the Everest. And then coming back, stretching out in trip, he hasn't had the sort of same, I suppose, zest, I suppose, or finishing surges at the end of his races. So they decide to make the call. I feel desperately sorry for Sam. He hasn't done much wrong on the horse. He obviously won a $20 million race last year, but things just aren't working out at the moment. The connections want a bit of a change, and Blake Shin will be the man for the Winter Carnival up there in Queensland.
Yeah, you always feel sorry for the jockey, but that's what happens in this industry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Adam, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Won't be the last. It's just something that happens.
I've seen much worse jockey changes, to be fair, like when I've felt other jockeys have been stiffer, but this is what happens if owners and want to put their money in and trainers are going to prepare the horse. They've got the right to make the call and they've decided to go with Blake Shin, who will fly up there. And I'm sure Sam will bounce back. Obviously, he'll be initially quite disappointed in losing the ride on a horse that he's pretty much done all the groundwork on and ridden him all throughout his career. But swings and roundabouts, Loz, you know what it's like. One door closes, another one opens.
Adam, what's going on with the new Gold Coast track, mate? It's lost all its meetings.
Yeah, Josh, this is a really big story developing up there in Queensland, and one that sort of emerged sort of late last week, that this new track up there on the Gold Coast, which only opened, obviously, earlier this year, I believe, or late so last year, doing some work on it, is just not racing up to standard as it stands at the moment. A lot of kickback. Jockeys are reporting that the surface is very shifty, and Racing Queensland have got on the front foot straight away and said, you know what, we can't afford to risk having some of our feature race meetings leading up to the Winter Carnival being raced on a subsurface track. So they're going to be going up to the Sunshine Coast, the Hollandale Stakes meeting, and I'm not quite sure what the immediate future is going to be for that Gold Coast track. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like every time we build a new track in Australia these days, a lot of them sort of struggle to get going. And the initial sort of six-month period, there's a lot of problems. So I don't know whether we need to do a bit of a deeper dive into how we're sort of building these tracks and whatever else. There'll be smarter minds than me who can talk to that. But it's not a great look, is it? When we've got a new track that's taken 12 months to build or 18 months to build, and then all of a sudden it's just not racing well and they need to transfer meetings away. So they've got a big problem up there on the Gold Coast at the moment.
All right, what have you made of it? South Sydney, Jason Demetrio, and how it's all played out there yesterday with, well, it took two board meetings, and then Jason Demetrio was sacked.
Yeah, Mido, huge news yesterday at South Sydney. First of all, I will say that I feel very sorry for Jason Demetrio. He's a good man. I still believe he's a good coach. He's got a family. He's got a wife and daughters that have obviously been going through a particularly difficult time in the last sort of month to 6 weeks, and it was almost seemed inevitable yesterday. That was the decision the South Sydney board was going to reach, wasn't it? But I suppose my one question mark is why the change now that couldn't have been made 2 weeks ago during the bye rounds? Like, I know they had one more game since then and they got towed up by Melbourne on Anzac night. But I think most neutral observers would have thought they were going to go down to Melbourne and struggle to beat the Storm there. And that happened to be the case. And it's sort of dragged out for another 2 or 3 weeks, hasn't it, really? So, yeah, desperately sorry for Jason. And I think I heard you guys speaking a little bit earlier this morning, like, all roads lead to Wayne Bennett. That's going to be their number one priority and number one choice to take over next year. It's just a matter of whether Wayne wants to come back to Sydney and work with South Sydney again. But I think by making the move now, it probably gives him a chance to give him some time to try and get on the front foot with Wayne and try and bring him back to South Sydney. And I don't know what you think, Loz and Josh, but whether Wayne would want to come back to Sydney and take over South again, a club he's been at before. But there's not too many jobs around the NRL, is there? So if he wants to keep coaching, he might not have much of a choice.
Well, if he, that's exactly right, Adam. If he wants to keep coaching, he might have to come back to Sydney. I pondered this question off air, but I'll now ponder it on air. And actually, I won't ponder it. I'll ask you, because I was sitting there reading about, you know, Parramatta and how they're struggling and Brad Arthur's under pressure. Do you think this makes Parramatta think a little bit harder about what they're doing with Brad moving forward?
Yeah, I agree, Lots. I think you're probably right in expressing that sentiment. Like, was Parramatta have obviously struggled in the first sort of 8 or 9 weeks of this season. Brad's going to be under some sort of pressure. There's no doubt about that. But South has sort of forced the issue a little bit now, haven't they, really, by getting on the front foot and saying, well, we're going in a different direction and we're going to probably target Wayne Bennett as the choice to take over next year. So if Parramatta's going to make a move and they want Wayne, they're going to have to do it pretty quickly. I'm not quite sure whether they're at that point or they even want to do that, to be honest. But it's certainly going to expedite the whole process, isn't it, really? Because as we've seen in the past with coaching changes, a lot of it's about timing, isn't it, really? You've got to get your timing right for guys who are coming onto the market or who are available. And if you miss out on your timing, then you miss out on your guy in a lot of the cases. And that might be the case here where Parramatta have got a choice to make.
I will say, though, boys, Parramatta, they're just a different side without Mitch.
Oh,
their whole attack is based around Mitch. I don't think there's a team in the NRL who base their attack around one player more.
No. It's hard when you miss your dominant seven, isn't it? When you're a dominant seven.
Like, we talk about the young halves coming in. He dominates that team.
Oh, well, Canberra, you could argue, is the same, couldn't you, now without Fogarty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just with Mitch, Fogarty as well, but his long kicking games, sometimes it gets him out of trouble, even if they're not playing well, but they win the field position battle all the time, no matter what. And then you always, you know, the one thing Parra aren't doing at the moment is he's looking down their short sides. That's the one thing Mitch does the best. He whips down those short sides. So teams, all they're doing now is they're
defending the long side.
Easy. Mm. So, yeah, look, for Brad Arthur, he'll just be hoping Mitch can come back and stabilise that team again.
So Blake Solly addresses the media in just about an hour and a quarter, doesn't he, Adam?
He does, though. I'm on my way there, so okay. I'm not too far away. So it'll be an interesting morning at South Sydney headquarters this morning, get some more clarity about, you know, why they thought the decision was right now, how they came to it, and the future. involve Uncle Wayne.
With Uncle Wayne, if Uncle Wayne ends up going to South, how does it all roll with Sam Burgess then?
Yeah, good question, Loz. I don't think Warrington want to let him go. He's got a 2-year contract, I believe, to stay over there at the Wolves in the UK Super League. And I think they want to try and extend it as well. So, listen, you can see it makes sense for Sam to come back potentially if Wayne does get the job next year. But do you think in some respects, Loz, he might be better still learning his craft on his own and coaching a team by himself rather than coming back and being with Wayne again?
Most definitely. Because I think the issue will be, If he had a problem with the playing group, the playing group's still there.
Mm.
So how's that interaction going to work? And isn't it funny? We were talking about Jason Demetriou wanting to be tougher and harder on these players, and they don't need someone that's going to come back and give them a bit of a cuddle and look after them. And here we have Wayne being the front runner, and he's like the reason why they want him back is because he can keep the group happy.
Mm. Yeah.
So where does it leave them then when Wayne leaves? Moves on. Like, are they going to be in the same situation as they are now? It's just a short-term fix. I don't know.
Yeah, well, wherever South Sydney are at the moment, it's not befitting of the standard of the club they are, the size of the club they are. So they need to make some drastic changes, whether that's Wayne Bennett to get his playing group back on the straight and narrow. A lot of people have their say on that, but you know, I can imagine at this stage all roads are probably leading to Wayne. It's going to be his call to decide whether he wants to come back.
Just something else to consider with Sam Burgess. He's got kids here as well. And, you know, FaceTime's FaceTime, but...
Oh, yeah.
That could be a factor. I know he's got a two-year deal at Warrington, but I honestly don't think he'll be over there beyond 2 years at Warrington.
No, but the big one will be the relationship. You've got to have a good relationship with players, regardless of whether you're a first-grade coach, reserve-grade coach, or assistant. And that doesn't mean that you can have a great working relationship and you've got to respect each other. That means that, you know, you've got to be able to have those hard conversations. And if people don't want to have those hard conversations, how's that going to work?
Well, also, where does Sam's, like, pride come into this? They got rid of him. I reckon Sam is a guy like that. He'd be like, it'd be hard for him to come back because he'd be thinking that. South, the club that I gave everything for, I won him a grand final. I gave him everything. And now they want me back. Oh, it'd be hard for him. There'd be something in him that's going... Oh, I don't know.
Should be an interesting morning, Adam. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. We'll chat soon.